Welcome to Little Cabin Knits, episode 73, My Healing Rose Sweater. I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crocheter, crafter, mother to a beautiful toddler boy, a counselor, mental health advocate in the wilds of Alaska, and this is my little corner of the podcasting world. So grab a cup of your choice or go for a walk like my little boy and I are doing right now. And just take us along for the ride, and let's talk crafting. Administration. Well, I didn't say this at the beginning, in the intro, like I normally do, because I'm out on a walk, and I totally forgot my intro, so I just kind of winged it. But I'm Emily, known as Anders Mill Knits on Instagram and Ravelry. I've got my little toddler boy Jimmy with us today. We're out for a walk. It's very cold out. I think it's, well, there's frost on the ground. And the last I checked, the high was going to be 42. I think got down to 19 last night. And I have been trying to record this podcast. Actually, I recorded most of the segments literally 2 weeks ago. And I'm just recording this administration portion now. And so the segments today are admin, on the shelf, on the couch, and contemplation corner. And I believe that's it. Although I might try to add in a time for Hygge, because it's the perfect time for Hygge, isn't it? The leaves are on the up here in Alaska, they've turned, they're on the ground. And it's just gorgeous and golden outside. The sunshine is beautiful. But the reason why it took me so long to record this episode to finish it is because I had three different people I was going to interview. And each one of them, scheduling conflicts kept on coming up and coming up and coming up. And so I would be like, okay, well, I'll just try and hold off. Maybe one of them will be open to the interview tomorrow or the next day, and just things just kept on happening, so it just never ended up happening. So unfortunately, we don't have that segment for this episode, but everything else is wonderful. So without further ado, let's get on with the rest of the show.
Around the fire. Well, my friends, it's been another month. I can't seem to ever record. I know I say that every episode, but it's true, every episode. The problem is I can't record well when Jimmy is awake, because A, he wants all of my attention, and B, he makes a lot of noises, which is wonderful, don't get me wrong. He talks a lot, which is great. And did I say A, B, or B? I can't record when he's asleep because I have his white noise machine on, and you can hear that throughout the house. It's now too cold to be recording outside. Plus, you guys know how it's gone the last couple times I've tried to record outside. Not that great. It's just been a moment. But my husband's home today. It's a Sunday. And so I just told him, okay, I have to do it. Not that I was dreading it, but it says now I'm regulated out to the car so that I can record. It's wonderful. All right. So what's been going on the past month? Well, Jimmy has turned, physically turned 16 months old as of yesterday. Developmentally, because he was born a month early, he is rated at 15 months right now, and that will go on until he's at least 18 months old to 2 years old. They'll keep downgrading him developmentally, which is great because, boy howdy guys, I've been having the time of it. I finally got Jimmy in with a new practitioner because I refused to go back to that last place I was at. I'm not going to name their names, but I got in with a new practitioner for Jimmy, his new PCP. So excited. She spent a long time with us. She really made me feel competent and confident as a mom, which, by the way, I'm not currently feeling that way, but at that moment I did. We did the developmental test. What do they call it? The ASP? No, I'm getting it all wrong. I can't remember what the test acronym was called. But actually, the provider accidentally, we didn't know this at the time, but the provider actually accidentally gave us the 18-month quiz or assessment, and he failed. And at the time, I was like, oh, well, it makes sense to me that he would have failed. What I thought she was giving him was the 16-month one. I was like, yeah, it makes sense that he failed because, A, he's not even 16 months yet. But also, he just picks up on things a little bit slower. Well, she referred me to the team that we have here in Alaska. I bet you it's everywhere. I don't think that we're unique in this. In which there's a team of occupational therapists, prescribers, speech therapists, and so on, or and physical therapists that all fall under the umbrella of this thing called TIC, which I believe stands for the Infant Coalition. And if your child isn't meeting the developmental markers, they can be referred to this program so you can have a physical therapist or whatever you need come out and help you as a parent meet the needs and help your child develop more. Well, so I've been playing phone tag with them, and boy, howdy, they're super nice over there. I really enjoy them. And I finally was able to talk to somebody, and she said, well, I got your records from your doctor, and this is what happened. You got the 18-month evaluation. And even with that, she still didn't account for the fact that he was born a month early. So I was like, oh, okay. So we did the correct evaluation, and he passed. But she said, because he's born a month early, we're going to do another evaluation in a couple weeks, see where he's at. And if he fails that one, then we'll have somebody come out and work with him and do an in-person evaluation. And all of this, my friends, is covered by insurance. Whatever's not covered by insurance, I don't have to pay. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. And it just felt so relieving because I've got a few pretty awesome friends, one of whom you guys might remember is Nancy. She was on the show back when I was pregnant, so about 2 years ago. She was on the show and she talked about in vitro fertilization and having a child that way, which we're still planning on having Nancy back on the show now that she's got her little dude who is, let's see, is he a month younger than Jimmy or just a few weeks? Yeah. And then I've got another friend whose son was born literally a week after Jimmy, and another friend whose daughter was born a week after Jimmy. And all of them have been walking for like a month or more now. And I'm just like, okay, Jimmy, what's going on, dude? But he is so proud of himself. He will stand up and he's like, look at me, look at me. And everybody clap your hands. It's hilarious. And he yells and screams, or squeals, I should say. He has a very happy squeal and I love his squeal. Okay, I'll tell you the truth. My favorite thing is when we're grocery shopping and Jimmy starts doing his squeal in the grocery store because nobody is able to withstand that happy squeal. Everybody starts giggling and smiling and they wave at him. It's just livens up everybody's life. It's wonderful. So what else? I started two jobs. I talked about my cerebral job last time. I've got only a few clients on there. I'm getting one more this week. And I started with a local agency as well. A friend of mine runs it. And her whole goal is to have, as many therapists as want to work under her umbrella do that, but all of us work independently. So we all make our own schedule. She doesn't dictate anything. And we get paid a certain percentage of what is billed for that session. and I love it. Now, I haven't gotten any clients yet because it's been slow going. We've had to get me a lot of things organized, because essentially what it looks like is that I have my own practice, but I don't, because I'm actually under her umbrella. So there's a lot of moving parts that has to go on in that. So it's just been a lot of nitpicky things to get that rolling. But I think we finally finished up the last little thing this last week, and I should be getting some clients either this week or next week. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I have officially started life coaching, but I haven't officially started life coaching. I'm still working on getting my business license and everything. So if you guys are interested in life coaching, I'll tell you the difference between life coaching and therapy. So therapy, we're working on your mental health. We're working on working through possibly some traumas in your life, working through some, emotional adjustments, like big life changes that have happened, but that have caused you possibly to be feeling a little unsteady emotionally. You could have anxiety, you could have depression, anything that falls under the umbrella of actually having a mental health diagnosis. That is what mental health therapy is all about. Life coaching, on the other hand, is very goal oriented. We look at all the areas of your life and we say, okay, how would you rate, for instance? I even have an assessment that I use. It's super simple. How would you grade, say, your career life balance? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being it's perfect, where would you rate it? And I look at all, do I have 9 or 11 areas of life that I look at? And based off of that, I take a look at that and I say, okay, well, this is how you answered here and here and here. Let's look at this, see if there's any goals that you want to make around that. And I can help you with that. So I utilize a lot of what's called motivational interviewing, which is technically a therapy modality, but at the same time, it is suited perfectly for life coaching. And so I'm just like, I'm doing it. So if anybody is wanting, because I can life coach anybody in the entire world from Alaska, I can't provide therapy to anybody in the world. I can only provide therapy to a person who is physically in Alaska. So if one of my clients goes on vacation to, say, Disneyland or something, for that week or two that they are in Disneyland, I can't see them even via telehealth, like via Zoom or something. But with life coaching, your location doesn't matter because I'm not bound by the same ethics or strictures than I am with mental health. And it's actually really cool as well, because on the life coaching end of things, I can work with friends and family. I can work, and people can know things about me personally, like you guys do, my listeners. I love you guys, and you guys know a lot about me, and that's great. But as far as a therapist goes, I don't tell them anything about me. I might, like, I think I've told them, like, a couple of my clients that I do have a toddler, and yeah, that's pretty exhausting, but that's kind of surface level. But, like, I could have Jeremy say hi to you guys, or Mr. Radio say hi to you guys on a life coaching call, where I could never do that on a therapy call. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm getting all of that rolling. It's just slow going, not because I haven't done the paperwork, but just because money is very tight. We've gone through all of our savings and now we're down to whatever we're bringing in right now, and we're not bringing in very much. And we made that decision, when back in January, that was how we were going to be. But honestly, I kind of thought I'd have my crap together by now and we would be further along, and so we wouldn't be so worried about things. And I should have bought should have, could have, would have bought my business license like months ago when we were still working, going through our savings, but I didn't. So, yeah. But hey, guys, I mean, it's September and it's only now hitting us, right? So we did pretty darn good. I mean, I have been extremely strict on our budget these last 9 months. And so, like, for instance, I went grocery shopping this weekend and I said, okay, I've got $25. That's all I'm spending on groceries this week. And I got the essentials. We're good. Like, I've got a really good pantry going right now. So I needed to get just a few perishables and we're covered for the week. You know, it's nothing lavish, but it's great. And I'm not sitting here telling you guys that we're poor and please come and help me out and all this kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, this is how my life has turned into. It's not as it was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago where I had so much extra money. I could buy a sweater's quantity of hand-dyed yarn and not even blink twice at it. Now I think to myself, I'm never going to be able to afford a sweater's quantity of hand-dyed yarn ever again. And for the most part, I'm okay with it because I believe I have about 12 sweaters worth of yarn, as at least, maybe even 20. I mean, guys, come on, 20 sweaters? And by the way, when I talk about what's on the couch, one of the things I've been working on, which is a sweater, it's 4 years old. So it's not like I knit sweaters really fast. So I think I'm okay. I feel good. I feel confident. I feel excited. There is a lot of anxiety that's going through me, and I'm checking in with myself throughout the day and evening to make sure that I'm doing okay. And there's been some times, like today, I've been, or this weekend, honestly, I've just been really been struggling because one thing that Jimmy's been doing recently, because he's frustrated that he can't communicate more fully with us, so he'll start hitting. And it's not that he's being malicious or anything. He's just frustrated. But even with that, it does hurt my feelings, right? And I know it kind of sounds a little silly that a 16-month-old can hurt your feelings, but that's the reality of it. Like, it does hurt my feelings. So I have to grab hold of his arm, you know, gently and stuff, and tell him in a firm voice, no, we don't hit because that hurts. And he always looks at me very inquisitively when that happens. And it's good for a bit and like a couple hours or so, and then I think he'll just forget and start doing it again. But I think he's gonna pick it up more and more. And I honestly think that as soon as he starts being able to say more than mama and dada, that like he can communicate even if just a few words. I think all of that will stop. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to let up on, you know, correction, because I don't want any of that to become a habit. But yeah, you know, it was a lot this weekend, and I was feeling like I was failing as a mom a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. And I was crying, and it was, you know, but it's a cycle that all of us go through. I mean, for heaven's sakes, he's 16 months old. I've got, you know, the rest of his life to continuously feel as if I'm failing as a mom. Like, it's gonna happen over and over and over again. But yes, otherwise, up here in the Great North, we have what's called termination dust on the mountains. I think I've talked about that before in past years, but that just means the snow has started to hit the mountains and it's slowly starting to creep down that mountainside. All of the trees are golden or a kind of like a limey yellowish green. They're starting to fall, not too heavily, but a little bit. All the birds, the geese are especially starting to fly south, but all the birds are really working hard to get their stores up for the winter. And we've had a lot of rain, a lot of rain, and it's been really hard rain too, like pretty intense rain a lot of times. And one time we even had hail. And it's been really hard to get out and get Jimmy for walks because of that. So today it's a beautiful day and we were able to get out and for a walk as a family. And my husband and I were just like, man, this is just the best. Just this feeling right here. Why can't we just have this feeling all the time? Jimmy was chirping along, just talking, talking, talking. Watson was, you know, trotting along beside us, and Jeremy and I were just chatting about everything and nothing at the same time, and it just felt right, you know? Those are the best moments. So yeah, life is moving ahead, but it's busy, It's oh yeah, my physical therapy's going great. My hands, if I had to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, before I started physical therapy, they would have been at a 12. Now I can open a jar of mayonnaise. I wasn't able to do that before. I can touch my thumb to my pinky most days. I'm doing it right now. It's a little stiff. It hurts a little bit. I can feel it stretching. But it's getting there. So if I had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 today, I'd probably put it at a 6, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, which is pretty dang good. That means that in the 5 weeks that I've been going to physical therapy, we have literally halved my pain level. That is astounding. Now, my physical therapist did recommend that I get the shot, but I looked into it and my insurance terms it as elective. And so I would be on the hook for $600 per shot. So a $1,200 procedure, because I would need one in both thumbs, and they can't guarantee that it will help me at all. So I'm like, no, we're not doing that. It's fine. I can live with this. So yeah, it's been getting great. I can type now. I can, drive in my car. I still drive with my braces on, but it's the pain when I turn the wheel is not so intense that I cry out. I can pick up Jimmy without screaming internally. Guys, it's like life is improving. It's great. So yeah, mommy thumbs are healing. All right. Now, on to the rest of the show. On the shelf. Well, I finished a couple things, actually. I finished a pretty epic finish. I finished my Smooth Sailor by Martina Bame. I knit this out of Alpaca Cloud in the Matthew colorway, which is weird because it's like a strawberry pink. I mean, no, sorry, a raspberry pink colorway. And it's called Matthew, but whatever. I think I wrote down that it's called Michael. I need to change that because the colorway is called Matthew. I used 4 skeins of Alpaca Cloud to knit this up, and honestly, it's a little short. I knit it to what Martina Bame said to do, as in yardage wise. So Alpaca Cloud has about 220, 260, I can't remember off the top of my head, yards in each skein, and she says, for the entire project, you need 1,000 yards. 20% of which you reserve for the ruffled edge. So that's what I did. I knit until I had about a th no wait, one third or two thirds of a skein of my 4th skein left before I started the ruffled edge, and I had plenty of that skein left over, by the way, when I was finished. But now granted, I haven't officially blocked it. How did I do this? Oh yeah, I just wet it down and I hung it over the rod in my bathroom, my shower rod, because it's already too cold for me to dry things outside. So sorry, I just hit the microphone. Which, by the way, I'm using my new microphone somebody sent me. Thank you. I've already messaged you 1,000 times about how cool it is, but just so you know, it's really cool. I hope the sound quality is better for on your end, my dear listeners. As I was saying, the Smooth Sailor came out a little short for my liking. I think I would have liked maybe 2 more inches of length. And then something else that's really been bothering me is the depth of the armholes. Now, they're too deep for me. As in it looks really odd when I have it on because the armholes hang so low on my sides. And like, not to be weird about things, but honestly, I could fit an arm and a boob in an armhole. Now, on the flip side, Martina did that on purpose because this is supposed to be a versatile garment. As in, your head can fit through one of the armholes so that you can wear it like a poncho as well. And in that regard, it's super awesome. And I have worn it around the house a few times doing that. Oh, by the way, I haven't woven in my ends. And the whole reason is I'm a little frustrated. I don't like how it looks on me. I can't find, like, my mother-in-law, my stepmother-in-law, I guess you would call her, but I don't care. She's wonderful. I had her try it on yesterday, and it looked a crap ton better on Joni than it did on me. A lot better. But she isn't as busty as me as well, and I think that might be the main difference. But it's not of a style that she would wear. She's kind of more streamlined Alaska, like sophisticated Alaska clothing. I don't know if you guys have any idea what I'm talking about there, but like wearing nice flannel button-up shirts and some jeans, or a nice sweater and some jeans and stuff like that. This is not really something like something flowery and flouncy. Like, this is not something that she would normally wear. So she said, it's beautiful, but I wouldn't wear it. So I'm like, okay. So I'm on the hunt to see if there's anyone that I know or is a family member that this would look good in. I'm gonna try my sister's next when I see them next weekend, and my sister-in-law. I'm gonna try all of them. I'm not so sure my sister-in-law would look good in it because she's a lot taller than me, and since it already feels short on me, I'm not sure that it'll look great on an even taller person. But my little sister is even shorter than, actually, my little sister is about my height, actually. And my older sister is only an inch taller than me. So it might look good on one of them, but they're as busty as I am, so I kind of doubt it. So I don't know, guys. So if it doesn't work out, I don't think I'll frog it. And at the same time, I don't think I'll ever wear it outside of the house. So I do love the yarn, but I don't know. I don't want to undo all this hard work because it took me months and months. This was my comfort knit as I've been healing. And there are some wonky stitches. Like, I can see some areas where my tension was a little off here and there, but it's not noticeable, really, unless you know what to look for. And the ruffle is super darling. Like, I love the ruffle. And even the ruffle, I think I should have knit at least another row before I bound off. So it could be maybe two more rows, so it could be a little deeper. That all to say, your mileage may vary on this one. I really enjoyed this knit, mainly because as a handicapped knitter at the moment, this was something that didn't hurt my hands overly much. I could knit on it for longer than 15 minutes. Without having to take a break or just stop for the day. And I think that for the right body type, as in the slim build, like a little flatter chested than I am, I'm a D to a double D, depending on the day. And you all know what I'm talking about. But it, like, if I was maybe a C cup or even a B cup, I think this would look freaking fantastic on me. But I'm not. So it looks a little overly frumpy on me instead of flirty, which I believe is how it really does look, like, say, on Martina on her photos and stuff. So, anyway, mileage may vary. I would not discourage anybody from knitting that though. Just the experience of knitting it alone was worth it to me. It was very therapeutic. And the other thing that I have finished, I crocheted up my mother and father a set of scrubby dishcloths for their motorhome. So I've crocheted these before. It's a scrubby dish set. Is I think what the set is called by Bee Hooked Crochet. It's a free pattern on their blog. I don't even know that they sell it as a for sale pattern. I think it's just for free on their blog. So you will have ads on their blog, but it's not doesn't bother me anymore now that we've had that conversation that we had a couple episodes ago. So I used two skeins of Red Heart stripey scrubby yarn. And I got four scrubbies out of it, two of which were the really God, I can't think of the word. I want to say fluffy, because it doesn't feel dense, but it's more substantial of a dishcloth or a scrubby. It's still round. I did a video on it. So there's a video, like a Instagram reel, I think that's what they call it, on my profile if you want to see. It's not of the whole process, but you can see what a scrubby looks like on there. And then so how that works is when you knit and crochet that one, you can only get one of those out of a skein of the Lion Brand scrubby. But there's still enough left over for something else, but not an entire another huge scrubby. So Bee Hooked Crochet, also in that same blog post, they have a simpler scrubby that's just a knit in the round, I mean, sorry, crocheted in the round scrubby. It's nothing fancy. It is a little fiddly in the fact that the yarn itself makes it extremely difficult to read your stitches. But honestly, it's also extremely forgiving because it's just one fuzzy big mess. So you can't really say, oh, I messed up here. And I actually did it pretty darn well. I was counting and I used a locking stitch marker to mark the beginning and end of my rounds. And so I was able to successfully crochet up two of those flat scrubbies as well, using the leftovers for my parents. And I have, like, I don't even know, maybe 2 yards left over from those two skeins. I'm pretty darn happy with that. And my mom is happy too. Now, I haven't yet crocheted up one of these for my house. However, last time I was up at my in-laws, I was helping to do the dishes after dinner, and I got to use the scrubby that I crocheted up for my mother-in-law, and I loved it, and she loves it too. She just throws it in with her, in her dishwasher with her dishes when it needs to be cleaned. I think I probably would do the same. I mean, I don't see why not. And it doesn't really need to go in the washing machine. I do feel like dishcloths need to go in the washing machine, but I, for some odd reason in my head, this is different and it can just go in the dishwasher. I don't know. So I have one or two more skeins left of it in a rosy pink colorway that I specifically bought for me. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to start slowly but surely adding some more skeins to my stash when A, I am either around Michael's or Joann's and it's not out of my way, and B, I have the money, and C, I have the coupon because I refuse to buy them without the coupon. But I also have a couple commission knits coming up. One, I'm doing a trade with a friend of mine that does deliriously gorgeous beadwork, and so I'm going to be knitting up her granddaughter a sweater in exchange for our family's ornaments for this year. I'm so excited about that. And another one is I'm going to be, let's see, I don't know if I'm going to crochet or knit like a schlanket, a shawl that's like a blanket that's oversized for a friend of mine to give to her their daughter for Christmas. So I got to get started on those two, and I need to buy the yarn for at least the schlanket. I think I have something appropriate for the baby sweater because she said anything purple, and I was like, yeah, I've got lots of purple in my stash because it's kind of my favorite color, so we're good there. So yeah, so I gotta get going on those. I do still want, my goal is still to crochet up these scrubbies for as Christmas presents to all of my siblings. But they crochet up, like even the big one crochets up in like a half an hour at most. At most, the flat little one I did in like 10 minutes. I don't even think it was 10. I literally don't think it was 10 minutes. I'm gonna time myself next time and see. It's so great. I crocheted up this set of four in less than an afternoon for my parents. I did actually, I know exactly how long it took me. It took me one nap time. That's what it took me, my friends. One nap time of Jimmy, which varies from anywhere from 1 hour and 15 minutes to almost 2 hours. So pretty darn awesome kind of a knit, so a crochet. I would highly recommend these for gifts this year because they're useful. You know the people are going to use them if they're smart, and you don't have to worry about is it going to fit. And I think people are going to really enjoy them. So yeah, I'm super excited about that as far as Christmas presents go. Yeah. And honestly, guys, they're super fun to make. Yeah. So get on it. You got this. On the couch. Okay, so I've got something that I alluded to earlier on the needles that I'm pretty darn stoked about. My once in floral sweater. I cast this on back in September of 2000, or maybe, no, I think it was July of 2019. 2019. So it's been 4 years that I cast this on. Now, the once in floral sweater is by Maxime Cyr. It is gorgeous. It is an homage to Schitt's Creek, a TV show on Netflix, I want to say, which I love that show. Although, to tell you the truth, I've never watched it all the way through. But this is the yoke has a fair isle of two colors, sometimes three. There are all about five or six rows in which you have three, maybe more like 10 rows, in which you have three colors going on. But oh, what happened? Okay, we're good. There are roses that go along the yoke, and then you knit the body. Now, Maxime Cyr wrote this as a male sweater, so there is no body shaping at all in it, and all the sizes are extra big. And also, it's knit in fingering weight, and I didn't choose fingering weight yarn to knit this out of, so there's a lot of things going on there, right? So this is how it went. I knit the yoke, and this was probably the first time in 10 years at that point that I, or more, that I had knit fair isle or stranded color work. And I, because previous to that, I had thought that I didn't enjoy that kind of thing, because the last thing I had knit in that as a fair isle stranded color work kind of thing was a really big shawl. It was an epic project, and it had a rearing dragon on it. It was only two color. I knit it for, at the time, the person who was my best friend, and it took me a year to knit that. And I think it's a featured photo on the pattern. I'd have to go look. It's been so long since I looked at that. Yeah, I was pretty darn stoked by that. But it was so labor intensive and so anxiety ridden, and because the pattern didn't have a chart, it was all handwritten. So you didn't have, maybe she's changed it now, it has been 10 years, but you didn't have a chart to go off of. You just, and so you had no, I felt like I didn't have any real imagery that I could really go off of in while I was knitting this. So I was thinking, oh, fair isle isn't really for me. But then Maxime Cyr came out with this sweater, and I was like, sign me up. Or what do they say? Beam me up, Scotty. That kind of thing. Right? And so I just cast it on. I think I bought it within a week of him coming out with the pattern. And Elizabeth Lavold is the yarn that I'm using, and it's technically rated as a DK weight, but it doesn't feel DK in the skein. It feels like heavy fingering at most, like maybe sport weight. There's 192 yards in each skein, and I am using the colorway. I'm actually like, the colorways don't actually have colorways. They just have the color numbers. So like 54 doesn't tell you anything. So the colors that I'm using for the main part of the body, I'm using brown. For the roses themselves, like the actual flower, they are a tealy blue. The leaves are the brown of the body, and then the background of the yoke is white or creamy white, kind of like a natural sheep white. I love this yarn. It is one of my all-time favorite yarns to use. Now, it's not plied. It's well, actually, it is plied. It's like a two ply, but it's also felted almost. So the makeup of it is that it is, let's see, what's the makeup? 45% wool, 35% silk, and 20% nylon. Isn't that interesting? I just think that's so fascinating. I've been noticing a lot of places having this on clearance in the last couple years, so I don't know if this is discontinued. If I had the money, I would buy up all the discontinued Elspeth leveled and silky wool that I could get my hands on because I love it so much. In fact, a friend of mine online, I'm losing her name now, Professor Pearls. Oh my gosh, I lost her name. She's got a YouTube channel and everything. She just came out with a shawl pattern. And I was telling her that I would love to test knit it, but I didn't feel like it would be for me because she was holding one strand of fingering and one strand of mohair together to get the effect that she wanted. And I said, "You know me and mohair, I just can't stand the stuff." But she was like, "Oh yeah, I just knitted out DK weight yarn." And I immediately thought, "Well, I definitely have enough in my stash of, I think I've got like this lilac-y purple in my stash. I think that's what my memory says. I'll have to take a look at my stash page." That I would have definitely enough yarn to knit that shawl. And I was like, "Oh, maybe I want to test knit that." But then I thought to myself, "No, I've got to do my commission knits." Anywho, so back to the once in floral. So this is how it went. At the time, I wasn't thinking. I was kind of in a trauma headspace. I had just gotten out of that really bad marriage. I had just gotten into the relationship with Jeremy and just finished my exposure therapy sessions. And so I was not in a great headspace. But this was what I needed in that. It gave me so much comfort and so much peace while I knit on this. However, the tension on the ferrule is not the greatest. I'm hoping it will relax when I block it, but if it doesn't, I'm not even upset by it. It's going to be fine. But I knit the entire body and bound off, and then I tried it on, and guess what? It was humongous on me. Huge! So I ripped it all out down to the cast off of the sleeves or the armholes. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. And then I did a whole bunch of calculations. I counted how many stitches I had on the needles, how many inches that equaled, and then I measured my belly and I was like, "Okay, well this is actually how many inches I need if I want maybe half an inch of positive ease." And so I was like, "All right, well, in that case, I need to decrease down. Let's see. I need to decrease down. I had to get rid of over 60 stitches." So what I ended up doing was, is every third row, I placed two stitch markers in the middle of the armpits, and every third row I did four decreases, two on each side of those stitch markers. So every third row I was decreasing four stitches. And so I got down to the number of stitches I wanted, which is great. And it doesn't look as like I didn't do bust starts. They're not bust starts at all. I just did a taper down from the bust. And I like it. I think it fits me well. Almost as if I did bust starts, but it doesn't look like I have bust starts. Actually, you can't even like I know what to look for, and you would know what to look for as far as the decreases underneath the arms, but nobody's ever gonna see that. First off, because it's under the arms, and second off, even if people like it's it, I mean it's not even a design feature as we call it, like a mistake. It's as if I did it on purpose, because I did, and it looks good. It really does look good. So, I knit down. Another thing that Maxime Cyr says, it's so funny. So, for the body, because it's knit for guys, he wants you to knit 17 and a half inches after the arm splitting for the armholes. 17 and a half, and then 2.5 inches of ribbing. So, my body of my sweater actually measures To 18 inches total, including the ribbing up from the arm, separating for the sleeves down. So I'm happy with that. I think I could have gotten away with maybe half an inch longer, like 18 and a half inches, I think would have been even better. But as it is, I'm pretty darn stoked, and it's not even blocked yet. So now I'm on to the arms. We have the same problem. I had, ooh, let's just call them balloon sleeves, honestly. The sleeve openings were and are humongous, way too big for even somebody who is, let's say, a woman who is a 3X. I think that the armholes would have been way too big. I have pretty skinny arms and legs and a pretty round belly, so I'm like an apple shape. I always think I'm heavy because my boobs are bigger and I just always feel heavier, but I only weigh 145 pounds, which is freaking awesome, by the way, because that's the lowest I've weighed since I started teenage years. But even with that, the arms are humongous. So I've done a lot more calculations and figured out what I need, and I'm decreasing again every third row. Instead of knitting flat, as the pattern says, to a certain number of inches, I am decreasing every third row, and I will probably do that all the way to the cuff because there are so many extra stitches. Yeah. And I'm already, I think, almost at the elbow, and I'm not even close to being at the round that I want. But if I decrease any faster, it's gonna be obvious and awkward. So I'm just gonna pretend that this is how it's supposed to be. And I'm gonna be happy with the extra room in the arms. I'm gonna do it. The needles are the smallest needles I have knit on since I hurt my hands. So the body of the sweater is knit on size 4 needles. The ribbing is knit on size 2.5. The 2.5 hurt like all get out. I had a really hard time with that. The 4 is a little uncomfortable, but not to the point that it's making me stop. And my physical therapist did ask me to try and do more and more fine motor skills. So we determined that me working on, like, I can't knit socks yet. I just can't. But smaller needles in size 6, I can try. So this was my really good compromise. And again, I feel like this is a healing experience for me. Like, this sweater is just my Healing Roses sweater. I'm going to rename it to that, actually. Healing Roses. It's currently on my projects. I think I named it Winter Rose sweater. But I think I'm going to rename it to Healing Rose. Yeah. And actually, that'll be the name of this episode, Healing Rose. I just keep coming back to this sweater whenever I need comfort. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It's great. I love it. So that's on my needles. And then I have the Scrappy Bias Shawl version 2 on my needles. I am knitting this for a friend of mine. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but I'm not going to name her just in case. I love this pattern. I've talked ad nauseum about it, so you guys don't really need me to talk more about it other than to say I'm knitting it on US size 6. The minis I'm using for this are actually officially minis. I rated my, let's see, it was either 2019 or 2018. I did a 6 or 7 month subscription to Row One Yarns, and I loved them. I wish, I don't even know if she's still around. If she is, I would highly recommend doing that because you get exposed to all of these different independent dyers in very small batches. You get about a skein of yarn in mini form every month, and it's really affordable, honestly. I think it's like $30 for this, and you get all these different colorways from this one independent dyer. So you get to experience all of these different moods that this dyer might have when they're at the dye pots, but you get it, yeah, anyway, you get it in mini form. So I pulled out a bunch of those subscription bags, and I've just been try I'm being a little bit more thoughtful about which colors I choose next to each other. Unlike last time where I just kind of went with how I felt, I will tell you the truth. I feel like my first Scrappy Bias shawl, I liked the way the colors went better in that one. And I just kind of went willy-nilly on that one, where this one I'm being a lot more intentional. Like, for instance, let's see. I don't do every other stripe is a solid. And so, for instance, in this one area that I'm looking at now, I've got kind of an eggplant purple solid. Then I've got a speckled that's really muted, almost like watercolory. And it does have some purple speckles in it, which is why I chose it to go next. Then on top of that, I have a lime green solid. So it's a shocking green next to the other two colors. And on top of that, I have another speckle that has a neon yellow speckle and hot pink speckles in it on top of that. And then I go into kind of a royal blue semi-solid. So are you seeing what I'm talking about? It kind of, in to me, it's kind of jarring a little bit here and there, but I think when it's worn around the neck, it's going to be really pleasing. So I just have to get over myself and just be like, Emily, just enjoy it. Like, stop that. But I've been so invested in the Once in Floral sweater that I haven't knit on that in probably 10 days. But that's okay. I'll get back to it. It's all good. So I'm super stoked about what I have on the needles. Nothing like new and exciting. Although for you guys, the Once in Floral, I haven't talked about it in like 4 years. Actually, I cast it on before I started podcasting, so I don't know that I've ever talked about it on the show. Yeah. So there you go. That's new and exciting for you. So yeah, that's what is on the couch.
Time for yoga. Well, like I was saying in the administration portion, this time of year is just so beautiful. The leaves are a golden yellow. Up here in Alaska, golden yellow is the color that we get, and a limeish green, sometimes a washed out lime green, and a little bit of brown, but not much. And they are just so beautiful. The leaves falling from the birch trees are just, I find that the birch trees give off the most golden yellow colors. And so today, for a time for Hygge, I wanted to start out with a quote by Louisa Thompson Brits. She says, "Hygge happens when we commit to the pleasure of the present moment in its simplicity. It's there in the things we do that give everyday life value and meaning, that comfort us, make us feel at home, rooted and generous." And so as we slip into fall, and up here we'll pretty much have snow on the ground by the end of the month, which is October, I just want to invite you to take some time to appreciate the simple beauty that is around you. The color of the leaf, the shape of a leaf on the ground. Go for a walk and enjoy the briskness of the air as it fills your lungs. Take in the colors that are oh so different from any other time of the year. Enjoy the last few flowers that are blooming. Right now I see some dogwood as we're passing by a local field in our neighborhood. I think that's about it. The raspberries, the strawberries, onions, the potatoes, all of them have all been plucked from the ground and the branches. The blueberries have all been picked, although I do have a friend who's going out blueberry picking this weekend, and she asked if I would go, but fortunately I have to work. But it's such a wonderful time to be out. Right now as we're walking, the wind is picking up and it's blowing the leaves across the street, and they're making a little ticky-tack sound as they go. So just enjoy these simple pleasures, the sound of fall all around you, the smell of fall, the feeling of fall. So that's our Hygge moment for this week.
Contemplation Corner. If you just allow your body and mind to rest, the healing will come by itself. Thich Nhat Hanh.
Well, that's our episode for today. Thank you all so much for joining us and bearing with me as I rambled on in the around the campfire section. I contemplated redoing that section because maybe a little bit vulnerable talking about our money situation and everything, but I decided to leave it in because, well, I'm Emily. And I'm nothing if not honest with all of you. So thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoy this time of fall that you... Oh my goodness, I have to stop. Like, the sun is shining on it. It's like a mirror. Oh, it's so beautiful. Take out something wonderful to knit on as you cozy up in your nice warm house and look at those golden leaves. And remember, my friends, to knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now.